The views and opinions expressed by guests on the TWBC podcast are solely those of the guest and do not necessarily reflect the views of nor constitute an endorsement by the host, TWBC, or the advertisers.
National championships, confederation championships, world championships, major professional events. For over three decades, he has been there for many of the sport's greatest moments. And now he brings you even closer to the movers and shakers in the world of high echelon tournament water skiing. From the founder and creator of the Water Ski Broadcasting Company comes the TWBC Podcast. And now here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
And yes, that is the aforementioned Tony Lightfoot. I am the aforementioned Tony Lightfoot. This is the TWBC podcast, and I am joined by a good friend of mine from across the pond, from Blighty, however you want to call it. It is none other than Robert Hazelwood. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. Nice to be here.
Oh, good, good. And here being the Hilltop Lake, which is the venue for the Syndicate Hilltop Slalom event. You are a member of a Team Syndicate. How important it is for you to rep the brand here?
I think it's awesome. I've never been here. I've seen all the webcasts and all the awesome footage that comes out of here in the past. And it really is as beautiful as it looks on the video. It's amazing. It's a bit like home in a way. Just a little bit warmer. Everything's green, everything's kind of plush, and yeah, beautiful lake, and it's good to be here with the whole Syndicate team.
All right then, so obviously for those of you that that listen into this podcast or have been in the sport in a while, the name Hazelwood, synonymous with tournament water skiing. So why don't you introduce yourself to the good people that don't know you?
So my name's Rob Hazelwood. I'm 22 years old currently, and I've been skiing since I was all about 3 years old, competing since I was about, I think, 6 or 7. So I've been in the sport for quite a long time, and my family's been in it even longer. My cousin Will Asher sat over there, Tom Asher back in Orlando, and my uncle, Mike Hazelwood, he was the starting skier of the Hazelwood, kind of Hazelwood Asher skiing generation. So yeah, I've had quite a few good skiers come before me, so I'm trying to follow up suit and see how this skiing goes.
Uncles and aunts. I mean, Tim Hazelwood. Oh, yeah. Let's not.
Tim Hazelwood. No, left him out. Bless him. Yeah. No. He just won. He just beat Mick in the nationals. He got won all three events, which is pretty impressive for Tim, showing his big brother who's the boss currently. But there's plenty of competition going on there.
And your aunt as well is still very much involved.
Jill, she went back over the ramp for the first time in, I can't remember, first time in quite a while this year.
Wow.
She got the bug again. She was trying to get the record. I think she was trying to go for 18 or 20 metres. She was ripping it up this year. She loves it.
Okay, and you've been ripping it up in previous seasons. I mean, what was it? You skied at the Under 21 World Championships over in Canada, and that kind of got your name out there a little bit among the hierarchy of skiers. I mean, you skied really, really well at those occasions.
Yeah, I skied okay. That was a little bit of a weird year. That was the year that I snapped my bicep in March.
In Chile, yeah.
Yeah, in Chile. So I put my hand through the handle. Didn't go well. I wouldn't recommend that. No. Not a good idea. Ended up tearing my bicep belly. So no tendons involved, but just straight through the whole muscle. Have some good pictures if you want to see it.
No, I don't. I don't particularly want to.
But yeah, it was a pretty gnarly injury, really. It doesn't happen that often. It's not a common thing. Most people snap tendons, and the recovery is pretty well known. It's kind of 3 months, 6 months to full recovery. So I did that in March. Luckily, had a really good surgeon in Chile. The Mirandas kind of really helped me out there. They supported me well, so I got one of the best surgeons in South America and fixed it up well, but came back home, and the guy the consultant that I saw when I was back home, just so I was in kind of the medical area, so if something happened, I'd have a surgeon, was super negative. Like, probably never gonna be able to ski again. Your arm's gonna your arm's never gonna straighten. It's gonna get to 30 degrees, which is not straight, not even close.
No.
He's like, yeah, by the looks of those pictures, that muscle tissue's already dead. It's like, obviously there's a little, like there's a slight chance, but the chances of you having any sort of strength, flexibility. And I was like, oof. And then went to go see the physio that I've been with for years, and he was a bit more positive, and he said, no, ignore that, we'll get it straight. And my goal was to just I was going to miss that whole season. I was hoping secretly in my head, I didn't tell anyone really because everyone was saying that it wasn't going to happen. I wanted to try skiing the world to Malaysia, which was, I think, in August or September. Like, that was the goal. But yeah, I managed to rehab it well and the muscle healed, and yeah, I was back in Canada. So I think I was skiing about a month before the Worlds in Canada. So I think I came away with I think I was fourth in overall.
Yeah.
I think fourth in slalom. I think about eighth or somewhere in jump usually is where I end up, and made the trick final. So it was, yeah, it was a good event for me considering I was coming off a month skiing, and it was a fun one. It was my last under 21 Worlds, that was it, because of the years this year.
Yeah, of course.
And it went well, but that was, yeah, it was kind of this year that really I feel like I actually kind of showed everyone what I can do, and it was the start of this year was where I really feel like I started to ski properly, yeah.
Starting off with the Swiss Pro Slalom, right? Because, yeah. I mean, you had a pretty good outing on that one.
For me, it's what dreams were made of. I'd dreamed of that all, like, my whole life, so... Yeah, it was to go out there and ski that well. For me, I mean, obviously, it's subjective how well I skied, but for me, in my head, that was a dream to go out there and get three at 41 twice and make the final and be on the dock with, obviously, the big cousin. And I think I was third seed in the final. So it was a little bit surreal.
Already mentioned Will twice in this podcast. You mean, how much is he inside your head?
He supports me a lot. He helps me a lot. I wouldn't be here without him and the support that my whole family's given me, really. It's, everyone kind of says, it's just a lot of support from your family, which is amazing. And I really appreciate all the help that they all give me. That's the biggest thing. And I try my hardest to kind of help as much as I can. But I'm 22 and everything that I've learned has come from them. So it's, it means a lot. And yeah, obviously I want to beat him. I'm not here to lose as things go, but it's nice to be able to say that I can compete against Will Asher and I can compete against the best in the world.
You know, I mean, we're conducting this interview just before the Hilltop Pro Am Slalom event, which has a head to head element. You know, I haven't seen you too much in the head-to-head environment, and just imagine the situation you paired up against Will Asher in one of the head-to-head rounds. I mean,
when we train together back in Orlando, it's just like that. We're both competitive people, we don't have a huge tournament in practice, but we go out there and it's always on the back of your mind that, oh, he wants to beat me, I want to beat him. It's like, like, I know when before Masters, we were all training together. We had like half the syndicate team skiing together on one leg. And it's not like we're out for a fight and trying to win and kill ourselves to win. But there's always a little bit of a joke made at who gets the best score. And no, it's a lot of fun.
All right, then. So we've got a lot of great tournaments coming up. You're a member of the syndicate team. One thing that strikes me about you is that, I mean, you're relatively young. You're 22. But you don't hide yourself in a corner or anything like that. You know, you don't hold that much close to your chest type deal so far as what you've learned and what you're prepared to share. You know, so, I mean, you've done, like, YouTube stuff, you know, with slalom instruction and that kind of stuff. You know, give us an idea of how that, what the epiphany was for something like that to happen at such a young age.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious that I've had quite a... I've had an extremely lucky upbringing. I was around some of the best skiers. Obviously, just to be able to ski in itself is kind of a blessing. Like, it's a great life that it gives you, the friends that you meet. But just to have the upbringing that I did, to be able to ski with lots of different coaches, and obviously my family is quite a knowledgeable family as it goes. We've been around for quite a long time in this ski world, so I've had a lot of knowledge given to me. And I've always tried my best to try and understand it. And especially when you're a kid, you just do what you're told. Mm-hmm. But I really, once I started coaching, I think I was about 14 or 15, we had a kid come along, Tom Parkin, and I'd never coached anyone before, and Dad was like, right, you're going to coach him. He was 8 years old.
Wow.
And tiny, up to your shoulder kind of thing, and really shy. He'll laugh if he hears this. but Dad was like, right, you're going to coach him. It was back in at our lake, we didn't, no one really paid for coaching, everyone just helped each other out. And I was like, yeah, well, it's an experience, and I'm so, so thankful that I did. And I still coach him now when I'm back in England, and with Charlotte Warden and obviously everyone else who's there. We all help each other out as much as we can. And that was when I realized how much that coaching helps in your head think about things. It helps you put it into words. It helps you kind of reimagine it for yourself instead of just taking words from a coach. You can think about the words and you can truly understand the words. And
so in some ways it's therapeutic.
Yeah, it's I wouldn't say therapeutic. It's stressful. I suck at video and I'm not very good at talking to the camera. I have to take about 20 shots just to get a little 5 minute clip. But it's for me, it's putting the words that
it
I'm trying to think.
It gets easier the more
into,
you do it.
Yeah, yeah, and it's trying to put the words into perspective. And I never really realised, I've always grown up at a ski lake where everyone gets coaching and there's knowledge and most things are near correct. Obviously, there's lots of different ways of doing it. But I never realised until I started to kind of go around and go to Chile and kind of hear of people in America. And I just assumed that everyone had a coach and everyone knew what they were doing. But all of a sudden, I started to get a few messages and people, I would say, obvious things that I would always see, like people with their hands the wrong way around or... just kind of simple things like what binding they're using, like they're using some lace-up binding on their back kicker that their foot's obviously not going in, the wings on upside down, the wings at like 5 degrees, stuff like that that is to me quite obvious because it's just what I've grown up with. But it really helps them because they don't have. So if they have someone that they can go and, okay, we're going to go on YouTube and we're gonna follow Rob Hazelwood and we're going to hopefully, what I was doing for a little bit was weekly instructions, like picking up a point, say whether you're, it's, how do you think about rotating your hips to the handle? This is the problem. What's a way that I'm not telling them what to do, but I'm going, okay, you're narrow into 2-4. How could you go about it? And to be honest, it was from golf. I got into golf in lockdown, like I think most of the people in the world seem to. And there's you search up an instruction video on golf. I'm slicing the ball 100 yards out of bound, which is what I did.
You got the shanks.
And there's a million videos on there. And there's like, I'm sure Rick Shields, if anyone golfs, I think he's pretty well known. He does thousands of instructional videos, but it's simple, it's short, and it's so helpful in skiing. Mm-hmm. There's a few, I think Seth's sister has done a few, and I don't know if I pronounced his name right there, sorry.
Seth Disher.
Close. But I know he's done quite a few, and I've watched them, and there's a few floating out there, but there's not really one account where there's lots of that. So I wanted to start it, and people seem to take to it really well. I love it when I go to a new lake and someone comes up and says, hey, I watched your video, it really helped this, and I get a comment, and it's... It makes me feel good that I'm helping. Even if it's one person finds a video useful, it feels good to help people.
Yeah, I mean, because one of the points there that in that answer with the wrong hand up for years, I was left foot forward and I skied left hand up.
Yeah.
You know, and then Chris Sullivan rode in the boat one time. He says, you do realize you're supposed to be right hand up.
Yeah, and they're the little things. You go to these places and I've been lucky enough to do a few coaching days the last few years, kind of traveling around England and going to some new sites. And just the little things like that, it's so... The little things that can affect a skier so much, because whoever skis isn't just doing it just because, most people who ski love it and they want to get better. And obviously there's an enjoyment there, but you can go to a place and it's just a little bit of knowledge. It's like their wings at 2 degrees and it's messing them up, or their bindings are off the century, or so it's just something weird. And you can help people out with just a few simple things and obviously coaching. But it's amazing how just a little bit of knowledge can go a long way.
Yeah, indeed. And we're conducting this interview right smack bang in the middle of the dock here at Hilltop, just for a little bit of that ambience, you know, with the wind, with the waves and stuff like that. But let's move forwards a little bit. You've just arrived back from England, haven't you?
I have.
Within the last few days.
Yes.
You've been skiing 2 months in England, haven't you?
I have.
And, you know, whereas the temptation would be, well... You know, I'm in a fairly good situation in the United States. England is pretty much cut off from the rest of the world, or at least from Europe. You know, so first of all, why did you decide to return? And secondly, what were the challenges in returning and actually being there in that environment, given this worldwide pandemic that has basically touched everyone in some way or form?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest... this is the first year that I've kind of been in America for a length of time that isn't just about 2 weeks for a summer holiday. But I love home. It's like here, like I say, I come to Hilltop and it's like, man, it's like home. Everything's green, everything's bright. It's not sweltering hot. And obviously my family's there with my girlfriend. We go back home. And it's just a nice place to be. I skied my home lake and the place is pretty much perfect now. I know when you listen to, if you ever watch any of like Will's old interviews and anyone who used to ski there, it was a little messy. Mm-hmm. Like it was a little rolly. There was no islands. The boats were not always spot on. Whereas now we have an amazing boat. We have there's always plenty of drivers. There's plenty of people to give me input. And the place just doesn't produce a roller anymore. So it's just nice to be home skiing with family. And like I say, I can do clinics out there and help do some coaching. And
I just had immediate flashbacks of my day skiing at Hazelwood.
We did a little movie, a little rolly.
A lot rolly and yeah. No islands and stuff like
that. I mean, now there is not, if you go there, there's not a single excuse really. And it's good in one way because you can practice and everything's the same. And
it still feels like whenever you turn and go for the entrance gates on your opening pass, it still feels like you're about to end up in the middle of someone's caravan, you know?
Yeah, I can imagine. I think I'm a little bit used to it, but yeah, no, in the banks, but no, it's, yeah, I just like being home. It's like I said, it's home to me. America's amazing. It's just the most perfect place to ski. Holy, Will nearly just killed us with a football. It's the most beautiful place to ski, and it's not the warmest. It's not the best weather. It's maybe a little bit windy, but it's home.
What do you have to say about that little distraction there from Will? He actually threw a football at us.
That was maybe I might have to change my. Now
if you're in the head-to-head situation,
be flying around when he's going on six ball. I'll pay.
Now you're just gonna have to beat him like you've never beaten him before.
Well, fingers crossed, Dave.
All right then. So. Okay, where were we? Okay, skiing in England. Challenges getting there and back because it's still pretty much under a fairly strict lockdown.
It's not too bad. We had a lot of help at the start of the year getting waivers. There's a thing called an NIE waiver at the minute. So you're allowed into the country for sport, basically. So it wasn't too hard getting to the US. Obviously, it's always a little bit nervous. The customs agents, obviously very, very nice, but they can be a little bit scary. I'm sure most people know.
He's a very nice man.
Yeah, no, we didn't have a problem. We're allowed in and out of the country because of the NIE, so it was nice to go home. And obviously, I've had enough COVID tests in the past 3 months to, I don't know, I've had a lot of COVID tests.
Enough to choke a horse.
Yeah, pretty much. But no, it's been nice. And there's not that many tournaments. I only missed two tournaments back here. I think with the Wisconsin overall tournament and US Open, which I was very close to coming out to, but just decided to my home nationals instead. But no, yeah, it hasn't been too hard to get in and out, just a lot of COVID tests.
What was that like, the nationals? Because, I mean, last year they had to cancel that event due to the pandemic, but this time around, Stevie Glanfield pulled off what appeared to be a highly successful event.
Yeah, it was a good tournament. I mean, it's a lovely lake. They've got nice new boats. It was a great tournament, to be honest. It was different. I haven't skied there in quite a while. It's a little bit of a different lake to ours, but no, it was a lot of fun. It's nice to be back home and keep in contact with everyone, really. If you come out to America for a year, like even when I come here for 3 months, I go back and it's like everything's changed. There's new people everywhere. There's new people are skiing differently. Like it's all. So yeah, it's nice to keep in contact with the people that I kind of grew up with.
All right then. So before we round off this interview, is there anything you'd like to say thank some people or what have you?
I mean, thank you to everyone that lets me keep on doing this great sport. I'm having a great time. Obviously, my family and the Syndicate ski family and company, they make some amazing skis, if I'm honest. That's all I have to say. But no, a lot of people help me do the sport that I love. And thank you to everyone, family, friends, and the people who put on great tournaments at great lakes like this at Hilltop. So hopefully we can keep skiing for many years to come and have some fun.
And also a big thanks to Will Asher for that little moment of levity in the middle there. but you've been listening to Robert Hazelwood. I'm Tony Lightfoot. This is the TWBC podcast. And the next episode will be coming at you very, very soon. But until then, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC Podcasts.